book of Revelation, chapter 17. Revelation, chapter 17. Church, you don't have to watch the news much to believe the things that I've been telling you as far as we're being conditioned. We're being conditioned to accept things that are going to happen during the tribulation. This past week I reread, and I want to encourage you, as we're going through the book of Revelation in your quiet time, reread things that we've studied. Keep it fresh in your mind. But as I reread chapter 6 and saw the beginning of the seal judgments about how man was just murdering and slaughtering man, I mean, we're being conditioned for that today. I mean, how many of y'all turned the news on and saw the events that took place this past week, and you weren't real shocked? You're just like, you know, hey, it's happening again. You're not appalled at the events that are taking place. It's just becoming normal. When it's becoming normal and there's not a shock value, that means that you are being conditioned. You're being conditioned to accept things that are going to take place in the book of Revelation. It's, you know, it's just another day. No, it's not. It's really not. And it's not normal. It's absolutely not normal what we're seeing and how we're being conditioned. 2 weeks ago, as we ended the book of, chapter 16, and we saw the end of the bowl judgments, we watched as an angel who had poured out one of the bowls approached John and said, "John, follow me. I want to show you the judgment of the notorious harlot." John first saw her from a great distance, sitting on many waters, meaning she had great influence worldwide. John then saw her a little closer and saw how she would be used by Satan to bring about his plans and then discard her. We then saw that John got a very close look at the notorious harlot seen in chapter 17, verse 1 through 6. And when he saw her face 2 weeks ago, Scripture says, he was astounded. He was shocked when he saw her face. Southern Baptist and non-Southern Baptist scholars alike believe the reason for John's shock was because he recognized the woman as Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, or the Roman Catholic institution. It was not her, but her image was being used to spread false doctrine and theology that would infect every religious system in the world. Tonight, we're going to hear an angel explain to John what he had just seen. So let's look at Revelation chapter 17, and we're going to start in verse 7. "When the angel said to me, 'Why are you astounded? I tell you a secret meaning of the woman and of the beast and the seven heads and the ten horns that carries her. The beast you saw was and is not and is about to come up from the abyss and go to destruction. Those who live on earth whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will be astounded when they see the beast that was and is not and will be present again. Here is the mind of wisdom.'" Now, you might want to underline that. "Here is the mind of wisdom." That is a Roman connotation. That is a known Roman connotation. They used to say this phrase all the time. "Here is the mind of wisdom. The seven heads and seven mountains on which the woman is seated. They are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain for a little while. The beast that was and is not is himself the eighth, yet is of seven and goes to destruction." Boy, it's kind of confusing there, isn't it? Verse 12. "The ten horns you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they will receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will conquer them because He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Those with Him are called the elect and faithful. He said to me, the waters you saw where the prostitute was seated are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. The ten horns you saw and the beast the ten horns you saw and the beast will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked, devour her flesh, and burn her up with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to carry out His plan by having one purpose, and to give their kingdom to the beast until God's words are accomplished. And the woman you saw is the great city that has an empire over the kings of the earth. Let's pray. Father, we come to You tonight asking You to forgive us of our sins. Lord, we pray that You would be with us right now. You'd help us as we open Your Word. Lord, we pray that You'd help us to see what You'd have us to see. Lord, help us not to be confused by this book of Revelation. But Lord, use the Holy Spirit to rightly divide Your Word, that we might walk out these doors and help others to understand it as well. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen, amen. Tonight we're looking at the angel's explanation of what John had seen. And there's no doubt John saw it. 2 weeks ago, after everything had taken place, after all the seals had taken place, we saw the first six chapters, we saw exactly what John saw. We saw that John was astounded. He was shocked. He saw a faraway distance look at the notorious harlot. He saw a little closer look, and then he saw an up-close look in verses 1 through 6 of chapter 17. And he was absolutely astounded. So tonight, the angel's going to give him an explanation. The first response we see tonight is a response of John's reaction to seeing the woman up close and personal. The angel asked John, "Why are you astounded?" I will tell you the secret meaning of the woman. What had happened when John saw the woman up close had put John in somewhat of a state of shock, and the angel offered explanation. Now, how could it not be? If scholars are right, and he looked at this notorious prostitute and how vile she was and how she was riding in on the beast, and he got an up-close look at who the notorious prostitute was, and it was the Mother Mary, the mother of the Messiah, sitting on the beast, of course he's going to be astounded. But why would he be astounded more than anybody else? He was given charge of Christ's mother. You remember? When he was nailed to the cross, Jesus looked at John and said, "John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." He had an intimate relationship with Mary years after Jesus was crucified. So when he got an up-close look at who she was and the image that the beast was riding in and taking power on, it overcame him. It would be like you seeing the beast from a distance, and as the closer you looked, the more you realized you knew who this person was, and then when you cut the corner, you looked up and you saw your mother's face. That's what it's like. He was totally, totally taken off guard by it. As we consider the angel's explanation of what John has seen, John Phillips says we need to understand that the Roman Empire will be revived. Will be revived. It hadn't happened yet, but it's going to be revived. And we are seeing it as it rises. But the real focus should be on the history of the beast. So somewhere in chapter 17, at verse 7, you might want to write to the side, "This is the rise of the beast." We need to consider this as the rise of the beast. So, we last saw this beast standing on the shores of the Mediterranean in Revelation chapter 13. When we get to chapter 17, we see his personal history that is chronicled. Now, understand this. The day that we live in, does anybody in this room know who the Antichrist is? Now, we have our ideas, right? A lot of people speculate. A lot of people ask me, Brother Kyle, do you think so-and-so is the Antichrist? Do you think so-and-so? And I can't answer that question. But I can tell you this. We are being conditioned to accept the Antichrist when he comes. Today, right now. If he were to come on the scene right now, and I'm going to give you some more indicators here in a few minutes, we would be ready to accept the Antichrist today. Now, we wouldn't. We're going to be gone. Amen? Thank the Lord. But those who remain, they'll accept him. They'll bow down to him. Now, the angel then uses phrases that could be confusing in verse 8. Let's read verse 8 again. Listen to this. It says, "The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to come up from the abyss and go to destruction." As we've talked about in recent studies of Revelation, the beast will do his very best to reconstruct the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ, to fool as many people as he can to their own doom. When the beast is resurrected, many who have not accepted Christ will accept the beast as their false Messiah. Well, what does this mean? They will worship the beast. They'll worship the beast. Now, I want you all to understand this. There are people who are outside these doors that live in the farms. Y'all hear me? Who have heard a rendition of the gospel message their whole lives. They have. And if they have not accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, they will worship the beast. They will. Gladly. Let me get a little closer to home. There are people in this church. If you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, please understand me. You will worship the beast. If Christ were to return tonight, and the system started taking place, and the beast started taking... Listen, in 3.5 years, you will fall on your face before the beast. Brother Kyle, I don't believe that. That's a bunch of hoo-ha. That's a bunch of nonsense. I won't do it. Yes, you will. Your life will depend on it. Yeah. You won't be able to buy, sell, trade, drink water. You won't be able to get food. You won't be able to move unless you worship the beast. I just won't do it. Then you'll die. You'll die. And I promise you, when you're facing death, well, look, you know, I don't believe this, but I'll go ahead and worship him. I'm not really going to worship him, but I'm going to worship him just so I live. I promise you, you will choose life over death. You will. I believe there's probably people in the service this morning, if Christ were to come today and this system was established, they would be worshiping the beast within 3.5 years. Is that not sad? Now, let's look at verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, "Here is the mind with wisdom. The seven heads and the seven mountains are the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. They are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, the other has yet to come, and when he comes, he must remain for a little while." Well, that's kind of confusing, isn't it? It really is. John Phillips says, "This pinpoints the seat of imperial power. Rome is the city of seven hills, and has been known as such from the earliest of times. Rome, as a center of political power, it is not of much importance today, but it will be. Rome will be the headquarters of the United States of Europe, federated underneath the beast. There will be, it will be there, at least until the beast builds his new city in Babylon." So, get a picture here. Christ raptures the church. There is unbelievable turmoil on this earth. What's everybody in turmoil over? Well, you've got millions of people who've disappeared. You've got an economy that's crashed. You've got all these things taking place. Well, something's got to happen. Well, yes, something is going to happen. There's going to be a sound voice of reason. And he's going to come in here, and he is going to woo the world, not just the nation, but woo the world and bring the world together. Okay? Verse 11 tells us that the beast will be the last of the seven kings, and he'll also be the eighth once he rises from the dead. So there's going to be a grand scheme when he comes on the scene. He is going to be killed, very visibly killed. He is going to die. And after 3 days, guess what, Mr. Frank? He's going to rise from the dead. Now, this religious system that he has used to establish his power, when he comes back, he's going to do away with. He's going to discard every single bit of it, and he's going to establish his own religion, worshiping who? Himself. That's exactly right. Now, verse 12 and 13 tell us of the ten horns, that they are actually kings that have yet to come. So as you look at verse 12, it says, the ten horns you saw are ten kings who have yet not received a kingdom. Off to the side, I wrote, time of John. He's talking, we're looking and talking about the time of John. Okay? So this hasn't happened in John's time yet. Could it be that these kings are being established right now? Absolutely. To be manipulated by the beast when the beast takes over? Absolutely. Could they be put into position to be figureheads to follow the beast blindly? Absolutely. Can you look at the world powers, especially those of you who've been in the military, and see how easily they're swayed? Can you see it? Now, you have an unbelievable destructive force that comes in. A sound voice of reason comes in. Can you not see how all the countries in the world would come together under that one sound voice? Yeah, very easily. Now, verse 10 through 13 tell us of the ten horns, that they are actually ten kings that have yet to come. These kings will come to power for one reason. One reason. Now, you think with me here for a second. You listen to Putin and Netanyahu and Barack Obama and Kenya's president and all these other presidents, and they seem to have their own set of agendas, right? Right? But these kings, these ten kings, they have but one reason for existing. And that reason is to empower the beast. They don't know it, but the whole reason they are where, who put them there? God. God put them there to be pawns for this time, for His will, for His way. Now, God put them there, but Satan's going to use them. That almost doesn't even sound right, does it? But it's right. We're talking about righteous judgment. God has given man from creation until this point right now to turn to Him and follow Him, and they've constantly thumbed their nose at God, turned their back on Him. You cannot turn your back on Jesus and your face towards God. You can't. You cannot. Somehow, some way, the beast or his ideologies will be used to help these kings rise to power. When these kings achieve this power, they will follow but one directive, and that is the directive of the beast. The beast will use these kings to abuse every bit of power he can. These kings will fall at his feet and do whatever the beast desires, including going to war against the Lamb of God. He's going to have that much sway over the kings of the earth. How's he going to do it? Listen. The beast will so twist the minds of world leaders that they will have no clue that he is leading them to war against God Himself. Can you imagine that? They're blindly following a world leader. I'm just going to leave that one at your doorstep. blind leaf, oh yeah, he's for me. Look at what this person represents. They're for me. No, they're not. Can you not see that we Americans blindly follow leadership? Church, listen, it's not going to take much for the devil to sway people. He's already doing it today. Who in your right mind would say that they're a Christian, but they'll go against values that the Bible supports? I mean, does that make any sense to you at all? None. Well, I believe a woman should have the right. Listen, no. Listen. You're either on God's side or you're on man's side. You can't have both. You can't be both. Verse 14 tells us who will win the war. This is the silver lining in all of this scripture. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 says this. Says, these will make war against the Lamb. But the Lamb will conquer them because He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Do y'all know what that means? We win. We win. Every war that this country has ever faced, at the onset of the war, we don't really have an idea of who's going to win and who's going to lose. We hope that we're going to win, and we think that we're going to win. But church, listen, this war is yet to take place, and we already know who the winner is. Amen? It's us. We win. Christ wins. Those with Him are called the elect and faithful. Y'all know who that is? That's us. That's you and that's me. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, once He raptures the church, where are you going to be with Him? Right? So listen to this again. Listen to it. It's verse 14. These will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will conquer them because He is the Lord of lords and the kings of kings. Those with Him, who? Us, are called the elect and faithful. We're right there with Him. Now, we're not going to have to do anything. I'm just going to stand behind Jesus. Do like this right here. He's the man. We're not going to have to do anything. Listen, we're going to be robed in white, and we're going to be standing behind Jesus. We're not going to have to carry a gun, drive a tank, fly a plane, fly a helicopter. All we're going to do is stand behind Jesus. And He's going to wipe them out. These kings whose minds have been twisted by the Antichrist to stand and make war against the Lamb of God. Does that even make sense? And what makes even less sense, people who are here on earth today, if Christ returns, will be worshiping and standing in that battlefield against the Lamb of God. How can that be? Because they refuse to accept Christ as their personal Savior. They refuse to accept the one true Messiah. Now, verse 15 and 18 paint a picture of the end of the notorious prostitute and the start of the end of the beast. Look at verse 15. He also said to me, "The waters you saw where the prostitute was seated are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. The 10 horns you saw and the beast will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked, devour her flesh, and burn her up with fire. For God has put it into the hearts to carry out His plan by having one purpose and to give their kingdom to the beast until God's words are accomplished. And the woman you saw is the great city that has an empire over the kings of the earth." The beast will be completely, and most definitely, use the religious system of the notorious harlot as well as the influence of the 10 kings to rise to power. That's how he's going to rise to power. Once he has risen to this power, he will no longer need the notorious prostitute who will still be trying to manipulate the people on the earth. The ten kings, along with the beast, will destroy the one world religious system that the great harlot has established. And when the beast rises from the dead, he will set up his new system of worship of himself. The ten kings will fall in line and will look like a one world denomination until the beast tries to go to war with the lamb. And when he goes to war with the lamb is going to let all the world know who the one true God is. We win. Church, we may not know who the beast is yet, but we can see that everything is lining up for one person to stand forth and seemingly make all things right. The world's economies are all faltering. You know, I wrote this before Britain pulled out of the European system. Really. All the world's economies are all faltering. We are one tragic event away from collapse. And when that day comes, the world will be ready and willing to listen to a person who seems to be a voice of reason. And that person will be the beast. What are we to do? What are we to do? Church, we are to be ready. And while we wait for the Lord to return, we all have to tell the truth to every person who will hear. What's the truth? Jesus is coming. You better be ready. Jesus is coming. You better be ready. Jesus is coming. You better be ready. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for this message. Lord, we thank you for this book. You tell us that we're to read it and understand it that we might be prepared. And God, I pray that you're using me to prepare this body of people. God, help us to pay attention to your words and to understand what you're saying, that we might warn the world that you're coming soon. Lord, not to scare them, but to prepare them. To let them know what's going to take place. It's not going to be pretty. It's your righteous judgment. Help us, Lord, to love the world to you. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this evening?